Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Today, we are launching what we call a new campaign, like a new series. And so we do this together as one church, and we're doing this to launch the next 5 weeks. And so if you're a guest, massive welcome. We're so excited to have you here today. And we're really excited because it's summer, or it's spring, summer, and who loves it? Yeah, come on everybody, you love it. And we know that at this time of year, it's a time for meals, there's a lot of time at events, and there's lots of conversation. And so as a church, we want to speak into specifically four key topics that are current topics in society that we as a church, we want to be able to speak to with wisdom and biblical insight. And so over the next 5 weeks, launching today, we're beginning a new campaign called Table Talk. We're going to be taking 5 weeks on a campaign called Table Talk. And, you know, the table is it's a beautiful thing. The table is a great space. But like I said, there's room at the table for all sorts of conversation. Four areas we're going to speak into over the next 5 weeks, 4 weeks after today, looking at four key topics. The four key topics we want to bring biblical wisdom and insight into is, number one, talking about mental health. We're going to talk about mental health and bring biblical insight into that topic. We're going to talk about friendships, having good, healthy friendships, what that looks like. And we're going to bring biblical insight into that. We're going to talk about spirituality. We're going to talk about crystals, mystics, and psychics. And we're going to bring biblical insight into spirituality. A lot of people are talking about this. We're going to bring a biblical insight into talking about living in a world of extremes. The world has many extremes happening, many polar views. There's a lot of tension. And we want to bring biblical insight into how do you live in a world of extremes. But today, everybody, we're at the table. And I want to talk to you about the significance of the table. Before we talk about these topics, I want to make sure you have a fresh revelation of the relevance of a table to the kingdom of God. The table is a really key instrument and context in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to be looking at that today. How are you doing? You doing all right? Come on, you good? Amen. So here's the thing. In the Bible, they didn't have tables like we have. They didn't have round tables, rectangle tables. They actually had tables that were actually like, they were like a horseshoe-shaped table. And actually, people sat on the floor. They didn't have chairs. They sat around a horseshoe kind of shaped table, and they sat on the floor. They sat together on mats and maybe some cushions, you know, if you were lucky. And they sat at the table. The Last Supper was exactly that. It was a horseshoe-shaped table. The Last Supper we read about through the Gospels. We see it in John 13:23. But at this table, Jesus sat with the disciples and they had communion. And it was like the first communion. And Jesus said, take this drink, this wine. It represents my blood. And they were like, what? And he said, take this bread. It represents my body. They were like, what? At that same table, he said, hey, someone at this table is going to betray me. Jesus was very real at the table. A lot of incredible conversations in Jesus' life and ministry happened at the table. Table is a place of eating together. Come on, who loves food? Come on, I know you love food. Yeah, look at me. Here we are. You love food. Who loves food? I love food. Food is the best. Jesus loved food. He was a foodie. He was sitting at the table. And so many incredible things in the Old Testament, the New Testament, all throughout Scripture. There are so many significant moments at the table. N.T. Wright, who's a New Testament scholar, he says when Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal. The power of the table is this place where we eat, where we talk, and the beauty of it is it makes us slow down, especially in Western culture, in Sydney, fast-paced society. It helps us take note. It helps us stop. It nourishes us physically through food, but it also can be a place of spiritual nourishment through incredible conversation. We hear each other's stories. We get beyond the veil. You know, we really hear what's going on in each other's lives. It's an incredible environment to celebrate each other, to hear from each other what God is doing in your life. And it's a beautiful thing about connect groups. We're at a table-like environment where there's that conversation. Sundays are amazing, where we worship God, we hear the word, we hang out as a church, but we've got to have that table environment where there's fewer people and we're sitting down and talking about the word of God. We're talking about our stories. We're hearing and listening to each other. Tim Chester, he states, Jesus' mission strategy was a long meal, stretching into the evening. He did evangelism and discipleship around a table with some grilled fish. Who loves grilled fish? I know, grilled fish, it's the best. A loaf of bread and a pitcher of wine. That was his mission strategy. Robert Karras states in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Who loves Jesus? You love Jesus? He's the best. Eating was such a huge part of Jesus' ministry that Jesus, everybody, had a reputation. He had a reputation for it. We're going to go to Matthew 11, 18 to 19. You got your Bible? Come to Matthew 11, 18 to 19. And look in the words of Jesus. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, for John the Baptist, that is, came neither eating nor drinking. He wasn't eating or drinking. He was eating locusts and hanging out in the desert. And they said, ah, John, look at him. He has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, oh, here is a glutton and a drunkard. Look at that. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. The fruit of Jesus' ministry, which was described, it had a reputation for looking like eating and drinking. The fruit of it was sinners, tax collectors, disciples, engaging with the kingdom of heaven, and it turned society upside down. How did Jesus turn society upside down? It wasn't just the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, the best sermon ever. It wasn't just preaching to crowds. It was that, but it was also the table. Eating and drinking was a part of Jesus's reputation. Jesus, we read in Mark 10:45, he came to serve, came not to be served, he came to serve. We read in Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. How did he do it? He came eating and drinking. How did he do this? His strategy to fulfill his purpose was to have meals with people. I mean, don't you love eating with people? One of my favorite things to do is to eat with people and to hang out and to share a meal. And it's amazing when you're just eating together and you just give it some time, slowly but surely, conversation moves into places that are really significant. And it can move into really healthy places of great conversation. And I'm praying in my world, you know, this summer, there's some beautiful people in my world that I'm just believing that they're going to see the gospel. They're going to see who Jesus is. And I've got plans. We got plans. If they haven't already, we got plans to include them at a meal in our home. This is part of the kingdom of heaven. You don't need a stage and a mic. Come on, everybody, to preach the gospel. If you got a table, if you got some people, the kingdom of heaven can be advanced through the simple practice of great hospitality. In her book, Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition, Christine Pohl has observed a shared meal is the activity most closely tied to the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality. She says, if table fellowship is a spiritual discipline that is vital for shaping and sustaining our life with God for the world, we need to make a point to share our tables with people who are in our lives but are far from God. This was one of the most distinctive aspects of Jesus's ministry. Look, when we read through Scripture, everybody, I want you to track with me. When we read through Scripture, the table was a place of blessing and abundance and miracles. The wedding at Cana in John 2, feeding of the 5,000 at Luke 9, table was a place of blessing, abundance, and miracles. The table was a place of forgiveness and salvation. Matthew, the tax collector, Jesus, he had an encounter with Jesus in Luke 5 at the table. Jesus brought him for a meal. Zacchaeus, in Luke 19, Jesus said, I'm going to come and dine at your house. And Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus at the table. And he said, I repent of my sin. I'm going to give back double what I owe. The table was a place of restoration. Peter has denied Jesus three times when Jesus went to the cross. And to restore him in John 21, Jesus has a meal with him. He cooks him some fish. And as he cooks him some fish, he restores him three times. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, shepherd the flock. Peter, if you love me, he restores him. The table was a place of hard conversations and correction. Jesus corrected the Pharisees. He actually had them at the table with him. In Luke 14, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. It was a place of confrontation. It was a place of close relationship, but Jesus didn't hold back. There was deep conversations, deep examples of the kingdom of God coming to earth. The table was a central part of the early church. Look at Acts 2, 46 to 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here's what I want you to get, everybody. How are you doing? You doing good? Jesus, he ministered and he had at the table two groups of people. At the table, he had followers and he had foreigners to the kingdom. He had followers of Jesus, he had the disciples, and he had people that were foreign to the kingdom of heaven. And he brought them both, often at the same time, sometimes separately, but often at the same time. He had followers and he had foreigners to the gospel at the same table. Listen, at the table, Jesus was always journeying with his disciples, talking to them at the table. We read about the Last Supper in Matthew 26 through the Gospels. I mean, the amount of times Jesus is at the table talking to Pharisees, talking to tax collectors, talking to sinners, talking to the disciples. They were all at the table. It's incredible. How you doing, everybody? The table, it's significant. It's a significant place in the kingdom. It's a significant place in the church of today. Do you like this angle? Yeah. The church of today needs to embrace the table, just like Jesus did in his ministry. He had followers at the table, but he also had foreigners to the kingdom at the table. Like Jesus ate with the most unlikely people. Look at Matthew 9 through to 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. This is that moment. And he said to him, "Follow me." This is Matthew, the tax collector. And he rose and followed him. And Jesus reclined at table in Matthew's house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. They were there together. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" What is he doing? Verse 12, "But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Jesus was a friend of sinners, and he was their friend not to condone their sin, but to welcome them in and eat with them so that they could be transformed by the power of the gospel. He offended the religious by doing this, but he brought transformation to the lost by bringing them in close. Again, not to tolerate sin, not to say that's okay, but to bring them in close enough that they could see a different way of living. They could hear the good news of the gospel. They could see Jesus and his kingdom at work. And he brought them in close enough. And here's what I want to say as we bring this to a close, week one, as we launch this thing. Two spaces I want to speak to in the life of our church. Number one, connect groups. Guys, we are not building lots of programs and lots of events. We've got some, but we're not building heaps of ministries. We're not building heaps of programs. We're not building heaps of events. We have a few that support our mission as a church, which is to make disciples by helping people know Jesus, find community, discover purpose. What we have, one of the greatest tools we have as a church, is Connect Group. We gather fortnightly, and Connect Group is where we follow Jesus together. Connect Group is designed to be like Jesus at the table. And it's designed to be for followers and for foreigners to the kingdom of God. It's where we grow. It's where we have great conversation. It's where the 64 one another's in Scripture take place through Connect Group. Serve one another. Love one another. Support one another. Carry one another's burdens. Where does that happen? It happens in Connect Group. And the ingredients of a great Connect Group gathering are very simple. It's hospitality, food, fun, laughter. I mean, there is something beautiful about laughing and eating together. That's what Connect Group's about. It's about conversation that's focused on the Bible, the current campaign that we're in, that we're talking about as a church. We're unpacking it. We're unpacking Scripture. We're listening to each other. We're having great conversation about what God is currently doing in our church, in our lives. And then we pray for one another around the table. We go around the circle. We pray for each other's needs. We pray for people we're believing to come to Christ. These are the ingredients of great, healthy, thriving Connect Groups in our church. So we have two spaces. We have Connect Groups. The second space I want to speak to in your life is your table in your home. This is a place where you can include people to come and eat with you and your family. Now, be wise. Have good judgment. Don't just bring anyone into your home. Can I remind you? Listen. Can I remind you? You're not called to reach everybody. You're not Jesus. There's few people that the Holy Spirit will guide you to reach, that will guide you to build relationship with, that will guide you to pray for and believe God for. They're the ones. And when you've got those ones, bring them into the table. Invite them over for a meal. Who this summer, spring into summer, who this season, coming into Christmas, coming into January, who during this season could you have at your table? I want you to think about that. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Might be one person. Who could you have over for a meal? Who could you bring into this environment? I pray as a church, we would all make room in our connect groups and in our homes for people that maybe are foreign to the gospel, but God has called us to reach out to. Let's create space for them. Let's create room for them to encounter God at the table. Hey, four quick tips. You ready? When it comes to the table, hosting a good table environment, this is very important. Number one, create a place for people. So be intentional about the when and the where you gather at the table. Make sure the table's set. Make sure the place is prepared for people. Think in advance. Who am I going to have? How am I going to set the room? What's the lighting like? What's the sound like? What's the environment like? Think that is the spirit of hospitality. What are we eating? You don't have to go crazy on food. You can do really simple meal, but think about the place. How's the environment? Is it warm? Is it inviting? Number two tip when it comes to table talk this summer, get good at asking questions. You don't need to do all the talking and you don't need to have all the answers. Ask brave questions. Ask interested questions. But questions show that you care. Questions show that you want to learn. Questions show that you're interested and you want to unpack who this person is. Jesus was the best question asker there is, ever was, ever will be. Let's reflect him at our table. Ask great questions. Number four, invite people God is calling you to reach who might be different to you. Different backgrounds, different ages. Can I tell you, intergenerational connection is so vital. There are so many young people that don't have a mum and a dad, have distant relationships with these kind of figures. And you can be this. You can be a spiritual mother and father to people. And you can bring them into your home, make them a meal, love on them. I'm telling you, their heart's going to open up. They're going to start asking you questions as you ask them questions. I promise you, they're going to start being interested in the gospel. They're going to notice your life. They're going to see the way you behave, the way you carry yourself, the environment you live in. It's incredible. How you doing, church? How you doing, everybody? You good? Come on, everyone. We're going to open up our tables and we're going to see followers. We want to be with followers and foreigners to the kingdom all at the table. We want to reflect the mission strategy of Christ. We're always going to have services where we gather and worship, but we've got to have the table as well. So here's the ask. If you're not in a connect group, I want you to join a connect group. I want you to go to the Next Step bar in your location, the Next Step lounge in your location, and I want you to join a connect group, fill in a connect with us card. Let's join a connect group. If you've been in our church for some time and you feel God stirring you, I want you to start a connect group. Let us train you. Let us prepare you. But today, go to the Next Step lounge and say, hey, the Next Step bar, I want to start a connect group. Can you train me? Can you show me what I need to do so I can host an environment like this? Second thing is open up your table, open up your home this summer. Ask the Holy Spirit, who could I bring that maybe is far from you right now into our table? Be wise, have good judgment, but ask the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody, amen. Come on, church, all locations. Can I get a good amen today? Amen. We love you. I'm going to hand over the team, hand over to the worship team. But we're believing for an incredible season as we lead into Christmas. Love you heaps. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.